morning. Had a week off. Had 10 days off. And had a lot of time to put things together for a talk. I don't know if that's going to make it better or if that's going to make it worse. But having the time to be at home was great. I think when you take vacation not just to get away from things, but once in a while just to relax, have time to yourself where there's no cares. Or very few, at least, of the day-to-day things that you normally deal with. The time off I had, I spent cooking lunches for my son. I think I vacuumed a couple times, and that was more for me than anything else because I like to see little marks in the floor. But the time was spent was really doing just nothing. I mean, it was very menial time. We come together here on the first day of the week as commanded. We remember God's great sacrifice, the gift of His Son, Jesus. And we're here to praise, to study, to become stronger in His love. And we gather to forgive, to gain strength, and become a strong believer in Him. Those are some of the reasons that we come. I like to think when we come into church on Sunday, we leave feeling better. And as somebody that would be speaking, I would hope that, you know, at the end of all of this morning, when you leave, we hope that you feel better about you, about church, and feel stronger or closer to God, because that's really the direction we're going. We have the strength of faith that God gives us. Excuse me one second. Sorry, that was bothering me. Strength of faith. We're commanded to have strength of faith. As a believer, you should have the strength of faith. You should be able to stand in front after you confess your faith and have that strength, project strength. We kind of start out as that for our families, as the leaders of our families. In Luke 18:27, he said, But though things are impossible with man, they are possible with God. So we're commanded to have strength of faith to take people where they need to be. So no matter what the situation that you come into, the strength of faith that we have as Christians really should help you get to the point that you need to be. We hold God's love confidently in front of us as a shield. Now as a parent, that's easy because you say we always protect our kids. And we want to protect our kids. We want to protect our spouses. So that when they are out, when they're not with us, they have that shield with them. I spoke in one of the talks of something I'd give to the graduates. You need to take, all of us, when we leave this church, that shield with you. Not just to protect you. Okay, yes, your family protects you. Yes, your father protects you. Your mother protects you. And would be there for you. But you need to take that strength with you that God is there for you. And unlike your parents, God is with you wherever you go. Your parents cannot be. And sometimes, as someone's growing up, that's a good thing. Because you need to experience those things. But you also need to have someone that can stand as a shield for you to block out the things that are coming to you to cause you harm. Mental, physical, or to drag you away from the church. In Romans 12:11 it says, never be lacking in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, standing with the Lord. To be fervent in spirit means to have strength, to project strength, to be strong for people, be strong for your family, be strong for your Christian family, be strong for Christ. He needs you to be there for Him. As His ambassador, as a person that stands up for Him, as someone that just simply does as commanded and stands for Him. Through your life and through the way you represent yourself in the world. We are told to remember to carry the cross when we awake, when we go out into the world. Now, Christianity is not meant to be a burden. It's not meant to be a heavy load. It's supposed to be the load that is lifted. So when you take up the cross, you don't add weight. You really give yourself release. you lighten your load. Because taking up that cross means that you not only have life somewhere else, somewhere beyond yourself, a future in a place that can't be described, life everlasting to spend in praise. You have strength. In Luke 9:23 said, "And then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is the most important part of your day, is to take on Christ, to put on Christ. Now, at what point in the day is that done for you? I don't know. But that is the most important part of the day as a Christian. You need to take on Christ. When do you begin thinking about it? When do you say your first prayer? When do you arrive at the time to talk with God? Somewhere through your day, you need to talk to God. I have no ability to focus on anything with my eyes closed. I try when we pray as a group to close my eyes and focus. I can't. I either get tired and I nod farther and I stay in prayer a lot longer than I should, or I lose the brain lock that I need to focus. When somebody's praying, I want to be involved in that prayer. When somebody gives the Lord's table prayer, I want to be part of that prayer. I want to be involved. I have to see who's praying. When I drive during the week, that's the greatest thing, because in my car, it's quiet. I can pray with my eyes open. And a lot of times my mouth is moving when people pass me anyway, be it for the phone, really bad singing or whatever. It's easy for me to pray in the car. You have to have a time where you talk to God. In Matthew 10:38, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." The taking and putting on of Christ is not always going to be easy. Some days it's going to be a very large struggle. Not just a struggle because it's hard to get out of bed and get your day going. Sometimes stuff hurts when you get up. And as you go along in life, sometimes more stuff hurts when you get up. An elbow, a knee, an ankle, a neck, back, throat, eyes, whatever it may be, it hurts. And it's hard to get up and put on Christ. But you still need to. The very first thing you need to do is begin to think of God. If you start your day with God, your day is going to go better. It's not going to be a great day, but it's going to go better. At least for a little while, at least for parts of it. So before you see everyone else, try to put on Christ so that you take him with you as you leave the house. Christ himself remembered and knew righteous work, didn't he? He didn't just sit at home. We have stories of him being out amongst the people, out walking, out spreading God's word. As the Son of God, he knew it. But he still went out and did the righteous work. He still went out and left. He was still there while he was on earth to talk about God, to talk about his Father, to spread his love. And I can only imagine that when you saw him, you're able to feel that. Now, we talked about in class about how people still witnessed miracles, saw Jesus, saw the apostles do things, and still didn't believe. The Bible also says not to throw your pearls before swine. Some people will not believe. Not everyone that calls on the Lord will be saved. We hope the people in this room will be. He wants you to be. So when you take on Christ, remember that it's going to be a little bit of work. Sorry, I'm smiling. I was looking through some papers this week as I was cleaning out my office, and I had a note from when I graduated cook school from my dad. doesn't write out a whole lot of stuff, but he says, anything earned is appreciated more than what is given. There were some struggles getting to that point. And I'll be very honest. There were some struggles getting to that point. I don't like school. I still to this day don't like school. It was not because I had bad teachers. It was not because I had poor instructors. It was not for me. Do I wish now I had applied myself and stayed there? Yeah. A lot. A lot of the time. I wish I had stayed there. Because there's a lot of things now that I have to go back and dig for and really struggle to learn. Because as I progress past 20 to 30 to 40, the ability to remember those things learned and to even want to go find those things to learn has really left me. And I don't think that's going to come back. Still have passion for the things that you love, but it's a lot harder to go back to learn things that you don't care about, that you still need. When you come into Christ, we have to prepare for a change. When you come up out of the water and you're baptized, you should feel different. You are born into Christ as you're immersed in that water. Getting past those opening couple years of preparing for that change is a struggle. It was a struggle for me. I wasn't baptized as a teenager. I was baptized in my 20s. So by the time I was baptized, I was out amongst the world. Well, you have friends in this world. You have friends that maybe you did things before you were baptized, or you were with them when they did things that weren't good. Your friends sometimes are going to get left behind. Your friends of that time, you're going to lose a few of them. And not because of who they are, but because of how they live and because of your ability now to not want to live that way. You don't have to be part of that. It's amazing that a friend will stick around. I talk about my old college roommate, Marty. There's no reason this guy and I should have been friends. Our backgrounds were different. We are completely different. But no matter the stage we've gone through, he's remained a friend. Through getting baptized, through getting married, through having kids. It's just weird because we can take up right where we left off. It's important to me. And it's a big thing. But you have to understand, as you change, your friends might not. And that doesn't make them less people, but that means you're not going to see them all the time. Because as you change, as you grow, you're going to have to be a better part of Christ. You're going to want to be more of Christ. You're going to want to take more of Him on to be better, to grow and be strong in Him. That passion to live for Him. Philippians 2:8, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christ knew coming to earth that He was going to give Himself. He knew He was going to die for us. And yet through that, He humbled Himself to become a normal man so that He could die on that cross, so that He could go forward for all of us, for you. I have, again, that ability to focus with my eyes open is something that I have to do. I also have to say things out loud in order to make them, I guess, a reality. So if I'm giving forgiveness, you know, it's one of those things I would have to say, I forgive you. And when I say it, I do mean it. Because it has to come out to be me. If I say I'm going to work out, I have to say it out loud, or I'm not gonna. I'm going to sit down in the chair, I'm going to put the chair up, I'm going to watch TV until I lose that urge. And that's really as easy as it gets. 1 or 2 minutes and it's usually gone. So I have to say it out loud. If I say I'm going to watch what I eat, I have to say it out loud. And I have to maintain it. Not only do I have to say it once, I have to say it a lot. If I say I pray on the way to work, I do. you need to know that when you pass me in the car, again, it could be bad singing, but more than likely, it's going to be me praying, because that's my time. That's the time I have in peace and quiet. It's a time I can kill the phone. I don't have to answer anything. It's fantastic. But it's my time to talk. I had an uncle. Used to love to hear him pray. Still like to hear my dad pray. The reason I like to hear that is because I know that's their time. That's something that they do. When they talk to God, they're talking to God. And that's a very special thing for me, because I can still hear my uncle that's passed away, and I was fortunate enough to still have my dad. So Thanksgiving, when Dad prayed, that's a lot to me. Anything you say out loud brings it to reality. Once it's out there, it's out there. The internet. Nobody's ever read any false information on the internet because somebody put it out there, have they? It's all true. You have to know what's being said. But once it's said, it makes it a lot harder to retract it, because once it's said, it brings reality to it. In Romans 10:10, it says, "For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Before we're baptized, we confess our sins publicly and out loud. We don't sit in the back and say nothing. We come forward before a group of people and we confess them out loud. We confess those out loud because it's important that everybody hears you, that people know that you mean it. And when you say it out loud, people know that you mean it. Give your blessings out loud. Now, when you say give your blessings out loud, I was at a basketball game yesterday, and I gave the referee a few blessings. I'm sure he wanted to hear my opinion, so I gladly gave him to it. Now, when you give those blessings, make sure it's good things. I always said I have the right to state my opinion. I use that right as often as possible. But we want to give good blessings. All right? We want to be able to, when we say things out loud, people know that you mean it. You know, something said repeatedly, with just a half a voice, no emphasis, it means nothing. All right? To say something out loud, to mean it, is important. If somebody walks up to you and they say, "You got a good kid," you know, I want to hear that. I know all the parents in here want to hear that. I really appreciate this. All of us like to hear that when it's said and meant. Those are things you need to do. People need to hear it from you. How hard is it to say a good thing to someone? Be it the smallest possible thing. It's really not hard at all. But how much easier and quicker is it to criticize the other side of that and to say something negative? Negative is pretty easy to go if you want to go there. To criticize with a back-ended result is very easy. To state opinion and not be able to give any reason why you think it is very easy, even if it's negative. We don't want to do that. We want to give blessings and give blessings out loud. Give a positive blessing. Be glad when you say it. Have your heart behind it when you say it. I will say that I had the ability, I think it was 2 weeks ago, to sit at McDonald's, and Kelly came in and was able to sit with me. I had just had a lousy interview, and him sitting there, whether he knew it or not, was just nice to have somebody else talking to me. A lousy job interview. Just pure circumstance that he was there. That I was sitting at McDonald's with my laptop open. I'm glad he said something, or I would never have seen it. So it was a good day. Thank you. I was glad you sat down. We got a chance to just talk. It was nice. And I needed it. Again, it was a good day to have that. You strengthen people with your words. You can give them everything. You can show them everything, but encouragement is needed. You strengthen people with your words. By just showing them how to do it and then walking away, you've shown them how to do it, but you've never reinforced the ability to continue in that. When someone gets up and reads, when someone leads songs, when someone prays in a public setting, it is nice to have that when you're first starting, especially to have somebody come up to you and say, "That was good." Once you hear "that is good," it doesn't hurt for you to add a little bit of something. You know, if maybe there's something that you could put in there that they can improve on, do it. I mean, tell them. If you mean it, and you mean it with that positive face, that you're not out there to bash them, to say that you, yeah, what a prayer. You want that positive. You know? That's what you want. I like when you pray, but I'd rather you say it to the mic rather than to the side. So if you can tell them that it's important to speak forward, and you do it after a positive reinforcement, that's what we do. Ephesians 6 and 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, we want to be sure that when we say something to help. Criticism is a rough thing. As a manager of people, I have to be very careful in the way I say things. Because no matter how I think I say it, or the tone that I use when I say it, it can be taken the wrong way. I had someone go off on me before I went on vacation because I typed a 3-letter response with a question mark that said, why? Why? They'd made a request. I answered, why? That's it. Don't tell me why. It wasn't negative in my response. It was really quick. But yet that set off just a firework of activity that I had to respond to before I went on vacation. Why? And to this point, I can tell you, I still don't know why that got them all worked up. It did. So when we have to talk, it's very important to encourage, not criticize. Criticism can be taken very negatively, even if it's meant in the very best way. So I would implore you that if you are trying to instruct, if you are trying to help, please give that message after thinking about it. Don't let it fly off the cuff. Criticism has to be thought through so that it's affected right. It's given in the right manner. We want it to be presented well. Because if you're trying to help somebody along and truly help somebody along, take the time to deliver it in the right way. It's important. Got a message back that said, talk to my boss after I got this big fireball come back at me. And he said, do they need it? Because I was talking about how to handle this person. Do they need it? I thought they did. He said, is it for you? Do you need them to do it for you, or do you need it to do for them to make them better? Because today after service, if somebody comes up and says, I could really enjoy your lesson more if you didn't wear that blue shirt. Okay. I don't know what to say to that. If me not wearing a blue shirt makes the message better, I guess maybe next time I'll try not to wear a blue shirt. I don't know of the colors I have, but blue is probably the predominant one there. But I'll try. But when you deliver that criticism of my ugly blue shirt, do you give that criticism because you don't like it? Or because you feel that'll make me better when I deliver the message? Because if the criticism is simply not to your liking, everything I like, you will not. Everything you like, I will not. I promise you that. That doesn't mean that we're going to argue and be at odds. It just means you didn't like the blue shirt. I'm sorry. The blue shirt and how it's presented, on what it's on, I apologize for that every time I come up. Will this help them come closer to God? When we talk, and when you talk to people, are you helping them come closer to God? Will that message that you deliver to them, will that bring them closer to God? Because if it doesn't, then you have pushed them away. If you deliver a message that hurts them, that is not given right, because you simply do not like it, you do not like it, and it will not benefit them, then that message needs to be delivered in a different manner. And again, in the management of people, it's the thing that you have to continually learn and grow with. as somebody that manages classrooms and kids on a daily schedule. There's a reason I'm not a teacher. You know, growing up in a teaching family, I think I guarantee that I'm the only oddball that's not in the school system somewhere, or has been in the school system somewhere. So as they manage groups, and as I watch my dad still out in public, he hasn't been a guidance counselor for close to 15 years, I would guess. He's been out. His management is still public greeting. We always have room. This is him. We were just at a track banquet. We had 3 open seats. A couple that came in, I really didn't want to sit by. We got room over here. Arms are up, and he's, come on over. Sit in the chair. Always good to eat with Dad. But that's him. He doesn't want you left on the outside. He wants you brought in. And that's really what we want to do as Christians. We want to bring you in. Because you might start on the outside. I started outside of this church. I went to church with my parents. My mother continually talked to me about it without fail. My dad would mention it quietly once in a while. But in the end, I started coming with Danielle. I grew to the place where I needed to be here. I knew that it was important for her that I be here and be a member and a baptized member. And through that, I eventually made my decision, and it was a good decision, to become part of Christ's body. Be the reason people want to know more about God. That's a simple quote. We want people to know more. We want people to push to study more. We want people to find more. To really come forward and start looking for God. We want them there. Be that reason. There's always room in this building. I've said that before in another talk. That sometimes if you have room, you need to make room. In order to have room, you need to make room. In order to have room in your soul for more of Christ, you need to push out more of that sin so that you have more room for Christ to come in. In order to have more room at a bench, sometimes you have to raise your arm and put it around the person next to you so that someone else can sit to your other side. That is the way it works. Sometimes, to make room, you have to give up a little bit. Those of you that have packed, that have moved, know that in order sometimes to have more room on a shelf, you need to grab some garbage and throw it away. In order to throw away garbage, you have to get it out of your life and do that. In order to make more room in your soul, it's the same thing. We push that sin and that trash away from us to have more room in our soul, to take more of Christ on. Because the more of Christ we take on, the better off we're going to be, the more fuller our soul is going to be, and the more happy you are going to be and able to just project that joy and to be happy out in life. Colossians 3:10 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your heart to the Lord." We need every soul here. God offers His love to all of us that come to Him. And we know there's steps that we have to take in confessing and repenting our sins and to be baptized into His love and into His body. But God still offers that love to everyone that walks through the door. As you come, as you attend with us, never be scared to ask a question. Never be scared to approach anyone in this building or within this faith, because we all want to help you. To have room in your soul, we want to make room. And to be a believer, you are able to make room daily. At the end of every service, we offer a gospel invitation that if the church can help you in some way, if you'd like to know more about us, if you'd like to come forward and be a member of Christ's Christian body, please come forward as we stand and sing the last hymn.